We can't slander one another. We have to come together with love and compassion and humility. And he says the very reason we have to do that, the very reason we have to love others, is because Jesus Christ showed us that love, showed us that mercy, showed us that humility, showed us that kind of peacefulness and love first when he died on the cross. It is only by the very mercy, the very love, the very grace of Jesus that we can express it to others. So he says, remember that, know that Jesus died for you. Remember, know that his mercy and his love and his grace has been lavished upon you. And as a result of that, we are to love others. There's going to be people in your congregation that are going to be challenging people. And guess what? Not everybody's going to like you. It's just how it is. There's going to be people that have issues with you. There are going to be people that have issues with what you're doing. There's going to be people that will say things about you. But the point is regardless of what others might do, God has died for us, and he's shown us his forgiveness and grace and mercy. And it is our job as leaders to do the same and show them love no matter what. Show our congregation love, show our community love, because we have experienced that love first, and therefore we need to pass it on to others. And if we want to create a community of love and friendliness and warmth and Christian brotherhood, if we want to lead a community that's rooted in love, that has to start with us. And they need to see and experience our love for themselves, and they need to develop a trust for us. And so it's very important that we keep in mind what God has done for us so that we can love others, even when it's, quite frankly, very difficult to. And as we love our communities, I know you guys also have a passion for outreach, and you guys have helped out with many of our outreach events, and you care a lot, and you're looking, even now, before you even start there in July 1st, you're already looking at the community and maybe ways you can reach out to that community. And it's going to start with love. The community has to see that you truly love them and care about them. And so finally, Paul tells Titus to make disciples. To make disciples. He says in chapter 1, verse 5, he says, look, make sure that as a leader, that you and the other leaders of the church, make sure that you are a husband of but one wife and that your children know the way. Ultimately, making disciples isn't going to start with your flock. Making disciples, Michael Carlson, is going to start with your family. It's going to start with your wife. It's going to start with your children. It's going to start by being the spiritual leader in your home, so that way they are growing in their faith and they are coming to know God more and more and more. As leaders, our first responsibility is that our family and our loved ones know who Jesus Christ is and that we are leading them in his paths. And so, Mike, I know you are a wonderful spiritual leader of your household, but I want to encourage you to continue that, to continue to lead Laura and the kids, to continue to help them to grow in their faith, to continue to do like family devotions together, to continue to serve God with one another, to continue to let them know who God is and what he has done for them, and continuing to pass that legacy on to your children. That is your ultimate priority as a pastor. Because you're not going to be able to lead a congregation if you can't lead your family. And so your first priority has to be to really spiritually nurture and guide them. Making disciples starts at home. The next thing he says is to make sure that others in your congregation are living godly lives. We see in chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. We see in chapter 2, verses 2 through 6 and 11 to 12. It says, look, instruct them to live a godly life. As the leader, you are the example. You are to lead by example. It says as much in verse 7, chapter 2. You are to lead by example. But ultimately, you have to instruct them as well. It says, teach the men in your congregation to be respectable men of honor. Teach them to fear God. Teach them to be self-controlled. Teach them to be holy people. It says, teach the women to be women that aren't slandering one another behind their backs. Teach the women to not overindulge in alcohol, but instead teach them to teach what is good. Have them teach the younger generation and have them to pass that legacy down to the younger generation. Essentially, he's saying, teach everyone to live godly, holy, pure lives. Your job isn't just to tell people who Jesus Christ is. The Great Commission is to go out into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but making disciples of the world. Not just saying a prayer and having them place their faith in Jesus Christ. That's just the first step. But as a pastor, you have to go on a journey with your congregation members. You have to help them to grow in their faith, help them to live in accordance with their faith, live in accordance with the commands of God. And so we have to help them to live godly, pure, holy lives as God has called them to. Another thing that we can help to make disciples is to raise up leaders within the church, to train and equip leaders to take over ministry. It is so easy as a pastor to say, oh, they're not going to do it right. I'll just do it myself. It's easy to say, oh, they're not doing it as fast as I want them to, so I'll just take care of it myself. It is so easy just to do it all yourself and to take control of it all yourself. But scripture is very clear. Here, Paul tells Titus in verses 1 and, or 5 and 6, he says, look, I have left you in Crete with a job to do. And that job is to raise up leaders in all of the areas of Crete. Raise up elders, raise up deacons, raise up leaders, train them, equip them to do ministry. You're not to do it alone, you're to do it with others. And so therefore, it's part of our job to equip the saints to do ministry themselves, to help them see their calling, to help them live by their very spiritual gifts that God has given them, and to equip them and train them to take over leadership and to lead various aspects of ministry. That is what being a pastor truly is. It's not just preaching on a Sunday morning. It's not just running various programs throughout the week. But it's equipping the saints so they can do ministry as well. And that way that ministry can grow and flourish. And finally, one of the ways that we can help make disciples is to remember that we can make disciples together. In chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, he talks about Artemis, and he talks about all of his other partners in the ministry and how they've worked together. And he goes, look, when Artemis comes, you can come and visit me because he can take over for a while. And these people can do this and these people can do that. And so there's this idea of collaboration. We aren't just the local church. We aren't just People's EC Church. We aren't just Blue Mountain Community Church. We aren't just Living Hope Lighthouse Church. We are a community of believers. We are a body of Christ. And therefore, if we are really going to make disciples, we need to do so together. And so while we send you off to do ministry in Franklin Township, we know that it's not the end. Because I know it is my hope, and hopefully it's the hope of others in this congregation, that we will work with you and your church to continue to spread God's message. Whether that be through the fire escape, the community center, or any other kinds of children or other outreach activities, we can always partner with one another, because I think that's what God has called us to do. And so when we send off Mike today, we know that it's not a goodbye. We know that it's not the end of our relationship. We know that it's not the end of our time together. Because we know that you're close by and that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ and we can work together for the good of God's kingdom. And so I don't say goodbye to you today. I say see you later as we partner in the future, as we continue to serve God and help others to love God, love others, and make disciples. And I want to finish off by saying, you can truly do this. You can truly pass on this legacy to love God, love others, and make disciples. Because Paul encourages Titus in chapter 2, verse 15. And he says, you have authority. You have authority. God has called you, has called both of you, to a life of service and ministry. And in that calling, he gives you his very own authority. Jesus says, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me, and I give it to you to do work for God's kingdom. And so know that as you become a leader of this flock, you have the very authority of Jesus Christ coursing through you, and therefore you can take authority, and you can lead those people in that authority, and knowing that you're serving God and doing what he has truly called you to do. So don't allow yourself to be discouraged or scared or fearful, because God is with you, and his authority is on you, and you have that. And so I know you guys are probably a little bit nervous. And, you know, I'm nervous for you. starting out in ministry is not easy. And one of the things I want to do is help calm those nerves by giving you some encouragement and love. And so I'm actually going to ask Ted Balliott to come on up here. And I'm going to give this to Ted. And what I want to do is I want to take this time to open it up to the congregation. If you want to wish them well, take some time to wish them well. If you want to take some time to share a memory you have about them or their family, now is the time to do it. We will pray for them later, but now is the time if you want to share a memory or just want to give them well wishes. We can do that now. So if you want to, you can raise your hand. Ted will come over to you as we want to serve and encourage and love Mike and Laura.
I want to wish you nothing but the very best that God has to offer. All the stuff that Pastor Chris says, I can only imagine when you go to a new church to be a new pastor, it's like you're the boss. So you're going in there at the top position with all these people who, you know, aren't going to know who you are and not going to be sure, you know, what's going on. But I'm sure God's ordained you for this. I knew that as soon as you came to this church as a couple that you guys were blessed. So, God bless you both.
And I just told Travis I'm going to cry. Just telling you ahead of time. I have all the confidence in both of you. But Mike, I have been saying for the longest time, you are like a 40-year-old man, maybe now a 50-year-old man, wrapped up in a 20-some-year-old body. You are so mature. Age means nothing. Even us older people, age honestly means nothing. But I am confident that God has you on the right direction, both you and Laura. It's a bittersweet. We are saying a temporary goodbye, but also a hello into a different stage of your life. And I'll be praying for you.
Todd, stand up. Mike, Laura, both of you. Wherever the Lord takes you. For both of you, I know there will always be mission. And it has been a great joy of mine and everybody else on the our PAC and PAS teams to work with you. From picking up litter on Main Street and the children and the food bank. It's just, and I know it's going to continue wherever you're led. So it's awesome. He's awesome. So are you.
That's actually one of the ways they got connected with this church was actually picking up trash. So
Mike and Laura, I've worked with Laura with the carnival. I was the living pumpkin. And I want you to remember that you're a very good leader with the children. And Mike, the classes we've been taking with you are really, really learning a lot about the Old Testament. And as historian, this will go down in history. And good luck to you all, and congratulations.
This is from Tom. And if all of you don't know, Tom doesn't talk, so we communicate, so I'm going to have to read what he says. Go ahead, Tom. I want to wish Mike and Lara the very best God has to, come on, bring to you.
So sweet. I'm going to cry. I keep thinking it's such a loss for our church, but and such a great gain for the People's Church in Weisport. And I know that I can't look at it like that. You know, we've had, you know, Laura and Mike here, and very fortunate for everything that they've both done for Living Hope Lighthouse. I know I've worked with Laura with the children's ministry, and she's just been wonderful. I mean, and I know that the roots here, you know, it's time now. The tree is ripe, you know, with the fruits, and they go, and they're going to move on, and now they're going to throw some seeds of their own and, you know, make God, you know, love God, love others, and make disciples. And I know that things will be really great for them. It's such a great opportunity. And, yes, Pastor Chris said, this is not goodbye. This is, I will see you later. Thank you for everything that you've done, and God bless.
And you're absolutely right, Sue. This is not something to be sad about. This is actually something to truly celebrate. It is actually a pretty rare thing for churches to be able to send off someone to be a pastorate for the very first time. It's something I think we're all called to do as churches, but it doesn't happen very often. And so it is a wonderful celebratory occasion when a church can send off their members into full-time ministry. And so while we will miss them, we know that it is a good thing for God's kingdom, and we need to keep that kingdom perspective in mind.
Mike, over the past couple of years, I watched a young man grow and the love that you have for Christ. And I know you'll be fine. Just remember, always, always show the love of Christ, and you'll do a great job. I appreciate knowing you and being around you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Excuse me. You're going to a new place. It's almost going to be like a roller coaster or a ride at an amusement park you've never been on. Might be scary, might be exciting, but it's going to be fun. But if you leave Christ, hold him both your hands, and you follow him, it's going to be wonderful. And that's what you got to remember. If you try to do it alone, it's not going to work. I got to share one little thing. I give out the little gummy smiley faces every week to the kids. And about 3 weeks ago, little Brooks came back to me and he said, I got to give you a hug. And he grabbed around my knee and he hugged me so hard. And I'll always remember that.
My guess is that was Brooks.
Well, I'd like to just say thank you, and I know you both will be great there, and I think they're very fortunate to get you, Mike. I think you'll have no trouble reaching out to the congregation there and to the other people, because the times that you gave a message here and I was able to hear it, I really picked up a lot of things, so I have no doubt that you'll do a great job.
So we have a gift for you, Mike, as you say goodbye. Hopefully it'll be helpful in your ministry. And as we picked it out, I really liked it. So Chad needs to know I'm going to pick one up for myself under our continuing ed budget. But so here you go. And hopefully it'll be of a wonderful help for you in your ministry. So open it up. Wow, Stacy did a really thorough job there. It's a Bible, but if you open it up, does it have wrapping on it? No. If you open up the Bible, we'll see it. Not just an English Bible, but it also has the Greek and Hebrew in it as well to help you with your studying as you go about and prepare some sermons. So I know you're nervous to preach a sermon every week, so hopefully this will help you with that. So, and I also know you're disappointed. I know you're always hoping that I would go so you could take over here, but I know God has some good things planned for you in Westport. So I now want to just have some time of prayer. In Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3, as they are sending off missionaries and apostles in the book of Acts, scripture says that they were sure to lay their hands on them as they sent them off. And so as we send off Mike and Laura and we send them to their full-time ministry in Westport, we want to be sure that we are laying our hands on them and sending them off. So I'm actually going to have Laura, if you want to stand over there by that aisle, and Mike, if you could stand over here by this aisle. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the women, if you're a part of the ministry council or family, or if you're just a woman in general, I would like you to go over to Laura and just lay your hands upon Laura. And men, if you're on the ministry council, want the men on the ministry council to come on up, or family members or any other men that would like to. And please, men, come up and lay your hands upon Mike. I want to give us a few minutes first to just have a time of silent prayer. So just pray silently as you lay your hands upon them. Thank God for them and also pray for their future ministry. Now I'd like those who are laying hands on them, if they want to just spend a few minutes, you can go around, or anybody that would like to pray sort of out loud. You don't have to pray loudly, but if you'd like to pray out loud for Mike and Laura, we'll give you some time to do that now in your groups. Aside and see you. I thank you, God, for the faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have done in the lives of Mike and Laura. Lord God, it's in some ways such a bittersweet moment for us, Lord, but I pray that your Spirit work within us and convict us and help us to know that it's not about us. It's not about how much we're going to miss them. It's not about being selfish in that way, but it's about sending them off to something greater. It's about sending them off to do your work. It's about sending them off so they can touch the hearts and the lives of those that they're going to come in contact in ministry, Lord. And that even goes beyond Weisport, Lord. If they move to another church or they're called to a different area, Lord God, we know that you will work in their lives. And I just pray, Lord God, that they will truly heed those words in Scripture in the book of Titus, that they will live lives worthy of you, that they will live lives that are honorable and pleasing to you, that you will make them holy and blameless, set apart for you and for your work, Lord, and that they will be examples, that others will see them, see their lives, see their love, see their obedience, see their kindness and mercy, see their service, Lord, and they will be an example to them to do the same, Lord. That you will use these two wonderful individuals to inspire a movement in Weisport. Lord God, so we know we can't be selfish, but we have to release them to do what you have called them to do and to do great things for your name. And we pray, Lord, that you will dwell within them. You will guide them. You will give them wisdom, Lord. It is not easy to lead a congregation. But God, we pray that your Spirit will guide and direct them. Lord, that you will give them a vision as to what you want them to do in that church, Lord, and allow them to be faithful to that vision and to follow it and to do it with determination and conviction, Lord God. We also pray as they are going to continue ministry with the fire escape. Continue with that endeavor, Lord, as that endeavor looks like it might be happening in the near future, Lord. And there's a lot of work to do there, Lord, but we know it is your work. And we know there are many hearts and lives you can touch through a ministry such as this. And we thank you for the ability to partner with them in this. We thank you, Lord, that as they move to Peoples, they become sort of the primary overseers of the community center in Weisport. And it's another opportunity for them not just to meet people's physical needs, but it's an opportunity for them to help meet their spiritual needs as well, Lord. That as they feed the hungry and clothe the naked, Lord, that they will also be feeding their souls and helping them clothe them with you. Lord God, we just pray a special blessing upon them. May your hand be upon them as we send them out and we commission them out into the world to do your work and your ministry. We pray this in your heavenly name. Amen. And so now is the time for them to kill me, because I am going to give Mike and Laura a chance to speak. So, Laura, I'm actually going to give you an opportunity to speak first, if you'd like. Here, Mike. Here you go. You can, if you want to say anything, if you want to.
Okay. All right. Wow. Thank you, guys, for all the love you've shown us. But all those amazing things you guys were saying about what we've done, you know, you guys taught us that. And, you know, Pastor Chris and Pastor Nathan and all of you leaders and everybody has helped us grow to be in the position we're at. So thank you guys for all the love you've shown us, for all the patience you've shown me. I go toward an anger disposition, which I fight every day of my life, but God has really grown me in the last 5 years that we've been here too. And I get really nervous about being a pastor's wife. I don't know if I can really do that, but you know, it stirs up a lot of stuff in my stomach. But I know that when he is guiding every move that I make and every word that I make, things go well. So as long as I make sure he's always doing that, I think we'll be okay. So thank you guys for helping bring us to this position and teaching us how to love everybody, because that's what you guys showed us from day one. And that's why, you know, we tried out this church 5 years ago and there wasn't any other comparison. So thank you.
And you're right, Laura. Thank you. And you're right, Laura, as far as yourself, as far as Mike, as far as me, you know, we're never going to be a good enough pastor's wife. We're never going to be good enough pastors on our own. But we have the Holy Spirit in us, and he's going to grow us, and it's him working in us. And so if we constantly rely on him and his power, he will strengthen us and empower us and guide us.
I just want to say thank you to everyone. It's, you know, over the last 5 years, we've tried to serve in as many ways as we felt God calling us to serve. But I think we can both truly say that we've received back way more than what we've given. So to that, we just want to thank you. And like Laura said, when we moved into this area about 6 years ago and we were looking around at different churches, we kind of had a vision of what we were looking for in a church. And this just filled it from the attitude of just getting out in the community and making that purposeful effort and just feeling so warm and inviting when we came in here. And it felt like family just from the start. So just want to kind of encourage you to keep doing those things, because it's made such a huge difference for us. So thank you.
I can't officially commission you because I'm not like the bishop or anything, but I just want to wish you well as you move on to ministry, and know that we are sending you out not just knowing that God loves you, but knowing that we all love you. You have our love, you have our prayers, and you have our support. And we are so happy for you, and we thank God for the many, many blessings that he has in store for you as you enter into ministry. So, thank you. So let's give them one more round. And I'm actually going to maybe ask Laura, or if somebody else would like to, for her, go down and get the kids, because I would